I'm glad it is a finished work. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 in your Bible tonight. Good to be back in America's winter wonderland. Amen. And good to be here tonight. I love your pastor and family. Thank the Lord for him. And it's always good to be with Brother Max and his sweet wife. And I love her. A lot of people don't realize that she was one of the first women politicians. She was the speaker of their house. That's what she told me. That's Brother Max, you've been saying that for years. And I appreciate him in the Lord. And then it's good to see some of our long lost friends. These folks drove 2 hours to be here tonight. And I'm so glad you came. And we'll take up an offering for you, some gas money at the end of the service tonight, and help you out. That young lady right there, wave at me, sweetheart. Her grandfather was one of the trustees and deacons in our church for a long, long time. And he was just a wonderful, dear brother, Brother Morris Montgomery. And I appreciate him. And she comes from good stock. Her mom and dad's good people. Her grandparents is good people. She's got a few uncles that's crazy as a bed bug. But other than that, I appreciate it. So glad to have you guys tonight. And aren't you glad that this is not the end? Amen. Jesus is coming again. Amen. One guy asked me the other day, he said, do you still believe that? I said, I've always believed that. And I believe it tonight more than I ever have. Amen. And I believe the next thing on God's prophetic time clock is the second coming of Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 tonight, begin reading in verse number 13. But I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall, I love that, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. It was a cool spring morning, April the 19th, 1775, in a little village called Concord, Massachusetts. There was a little creek that ran through that little village, and there was a little bridge that spanned both sides of that little creek. On one side, there were some soldiers called the Redcoats that had been sent over here from the king to stomp out that revolution that was taking place. On the other side of that bridge was a bunch of soldiers made up of farmers and merchant men and preachers and just plain old folks. And as they met there that day, somebody, and they've been arguing about it for 400 years, but they've been arguing about it, somebody fired the first shot. They don't know if the Redcoats did it. They don't know if the colonists did it. But somebody fired that first shot. And it has gone down in history as the shot that was heard around the world. And I don't know who fired the first shot. I know who fired the last one. Praise God, we won. Can I get an amen right now? But they've been arguing for years who fired that first shot. And it's called the shot that was heard around the world. I'm like Barney on Andy Griffith. What kind of gun was that, Andy? That you could fire a shot in Massachusetts and it rings in the halls of government across the Atlantic Ocean. The shot that was heard around the world. Well, I don't know a whole lot about that, but I do know something about what's going to take place in our text. Some golden daybreak, not a shot, but a shout. And it is a shout that will be heard around the world. The shout of the trumpet, the voice of the archangel, the splitting of the sky when Jesus Christ, our Savior, comes in power and great glory. Tonight, I'm not looking at signs. I'm listening for that shout that will be heard around the world. Now, in our text tonight, there are three things that's going to happen when this shout takes place. First of all, tonight, look in verse number 16 in the first part of that verse. I call it tonight the return of the Savior. When this shout takes place, you'll see the return of the Savior. For the text says tonight that the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. Aren't you glad to know tonight that one day Jesus Christ is coming back again? I love the words of the text. It says the Lord Himself. Now, you know what I like about that? That lets me know who is coming. The Lord Himself. Not a fake Jesus. Not a false Jesus. Not a phony Jesus. Not a fairy tale Jesus. But the real, authentic, certified King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Lord Himself. Think about this tonight. When God wanted to save the world from the flood, He sent a man by the name of Noah. When God wanted to raise a holy nation out of heathen nations, He sent a man by the name of Abraham. When God wanted to emancipate His people out of Egyptian bondage, He sent a man by the name of Moses. When God needed a prophet to fight the political sins of His day, He sent a man by the name of Elijah. When He needed someone to prepare the way for the first advent of His Son, Jesus Christ, He sent a man by the name of John the Baptist. When He needed an apostle to the Jew, He sent Simon Peter. When He needed an apostle to the Gentile, He sent the apostle Paul. But I'm glad to tell you tonight, when God gets ready for His bride, when God gets ready for His building, when God gets ready for His body, He will not send Noah. He will not send Abraham. He will not send Moses. He will not send Elijah. He will not send John the Baptist. He will not send Simon Peter, nor the Apostle Paul. But the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven. I love the words tonight of Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 11. The Bible said as Jesus ascended back into heaven, there stood by Him two men in white apparel. And those two men looked down and said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? For this same Jesus." Man, I love that. "This same Jesus that is taken from you shall come in like manner." Now that little phrase "like manner" in the country means exactly like it. So He's coming back exactly like He went back. He went back on a cloud and He's coming back on a cloud. He went back in a shout and He's coming back with a shout. He went back in a body and He's coming back in a body. He went back with some people and He's coming back with some people. He went away visibly and He's coming back visibly. He's coming back just like He went back. Notice what He said. This same Jesus, not another Jesus, not a fake Jesus, not a false Jesus, not a fairy tale Jesus, but this same Jesus. You say, "Now, Brother Joe, who is that?" Well, the same one that was coexistent with the Father before the foundation of the world. The same one that was conceived in the womb of a virgin by the power of the Holy Spirit. The one that astounded the doctors and the lawyers of His day at the age of 12 in the temple. The one that was baptized in the muddy waters of the Jordan. And God spake with a voice that shook the foundation of the earth. "This is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." The one that prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. The one that was beaten at Pilate's hall. The one that was placed upon a cross. The same one that cried, "It is finished." The same one that came out of the grave early one Easter Sunday morning. The same one that ascended into heaven. The same one that sat down on the right hand of the Father. The same one that wrote the Bible and sent the Holy Spirit. The same one that saved your soul and forgave you of your sin. The same Jesus, not another one, not a fake one, not a false one. Praise God, I'm glad I know who's coming back one day. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, the Bride in the Morning Star, the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, the Chief Shepherd, the Cornerstone of the Church. I'm glad, Jesus Christ, you've not seen the last of Him. Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come and there'll be a shout, and when He comes, we will see Him as He is. Just let me make this announcement. Appearing in a neighborhood near you real soon is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel, and I love this, and the trump of God. Notice how He used the analogy of the trumpet. Did you know in the Old Testament that trumpet was used in a threefold manner? Number one, that trumpet was used to call the people to worship. Secondly, that trumpet was used to call the people to warfare. And then that trumpet was used to call the people to a wedding, to worship, to warfare, and a wedding. Oh, when He blows that trumpet, we're going to the greatest worship service that's ever been, where everybody says in one mighty voice, "Oh, hail the power of Jesus' name and the crowning King of Kings and Lord of Lords." You've never seen such a war when He comes back to rain vengeance on them who know not God and who believe not the gospel. And you have never seen a wedding like the wedding that's going to take place. The wedding in the sky, in the chapel of the King. Man, I'm glad we're living in the greatest days since Jesus went back. We're living on the threshold of the sounding of that trumpet and the splitting in that sky. And I just want to tell you tonight, the sun's coming up in the morning and Jesus is coming again. Amen. I like that blowing of the trumpet. Several years ago I was in a meeting, and I love to watch our pastor. He's a professional song leader. Man, he does so good at it. And I like to watch people lead singing. And some of them little country churches, I grew up in the mountains, they led singing, but they didn't know what they was doing. And they just, they just frail their arms and you just sang. And I like to watch different. I was in a place the other day, Brother Max, this guy led singing, and all he just held his hand and done that like he was milking a cow. But they sung. Man, I was in a meeting not long ago, and the song leader, he was leading that great hymn of the faith, "When the Roll is Called Up Yonder, I'll Be There." And Doc, he may have been doing it right, I don't know. But he was leading that song, and man, the crescendo and the hemifemo and all that stuff. Man, he was building it high. And they got to that big punch line. Man, he's leading with the tips of his fingers. And he said, "And when the roll is called up yonder," and he got to that last line, and he did just like this, "When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be," and he went, "I'll be there." After church, I said, "Bubba, let me tell you something. You may be there when the roll is called up yonder, but I'm not going to be there when the roll is called up yonder. I'm going to be there when the roll is called up yonder, when a shout takes place that will be heard around the world. Jesus Christ is coming again, the return of the Savior." Number two, look in the last part of verse 16. "When this shout takes place that will be heard around the world, you'll see the resurrection of the sleeping." The resurrection of the sleeping. For it says in the text tonight that the dead in Christ shall rise first. No, that doesn't mean the Baptists are going up before the Church of God. It don't mean that at all. It means those that have died with their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The dead that died that were saved, they are going to rise first. May I make this statement tonight? There's going to be a great resurrection. You remember in the midst of Job's affliction, he cried out, "If a man die, shall he live again?" And that cry echoes through the chambers and the halls of the Old Testament. If a man die, shall he live again? If a man die, shall he live again? And I'm glad one day Jesus Christ, the resurrection and the life, answered that question and said, yes, yes, there is a resurrection. Because he said, because I live, ye too shall live also. You know tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that Jesus Christ based our resurrection on his resurrection. His resurrection from the dead is the guarantee of our resurrection from the dead. You know what Paul said to the Corinthian church? He said when Jesus Christ arose that Sunday morning, he was the first fruit of them that slept. Man, I got a hold of that to the day. The first fruit of them that slept. And I thought, well, what does that mean? Then I went way back over to Leviticus. And I studied the law of sowing and reaping and the law of the first fruit. And under that Levitical law, on the very first day of the harvest, the owner of the field would go out and he would pick a handful, which is an equivalent of a sheaf. He would pick a handful or a sheaf, and he would bring that first sheaf or that first handful, he would bring it back to the house. And he would lift it up, and the Bible said he would wave it before the Lord as a wave offering. And he said, this is my first fruit. In other words, there's more where this comes from. This is a sample of a greater harvest that is on the way. Lord, I like to tore my gown up when I read that. That when Jesus walked out of that grave, he was as though God was having his own wave offering, saying this is a sample. There's more where this comes from. There's going to be a greater harvest. And that little statement, handful, handful. I knew I'd read that before. And I went back to the book of Ruth, where when she met Boaz, her kinsman redeemer, he said, give her a handful of purpose. And it was on the first day of harvest. And so now this Gentile named Ruth is out there with her wave offering because she met her Redeemer saying, there's more where this comes from. I'm glad I'm going to be in that number when the saints go marching in because I've met my heavenly Boaz, my kinsman Redeemer. And then that little word sheaf got a hold of me. Handful is a sheaf. And I said, where have I read that sheaf from? And man, it hit me. That great soul winning text. He that goeth forth weeping and bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ wept his way from the Garden of Gethsemane to the old rugged cross. And one day he'll storm into glory, bringing in his sheaves. And you know who that is? The church, the ransomed, the redeemed. I'm just telling you tonight, because Jesus lives, we are going to live. He bases our resurrection on his resurrection. Just as sure as Jesus walked out of that grave, one day the trumpet's going to sound, and those people that died with their faith in Jesus Christ, they're coming out of that ground. There's going to be a resurrection. We've not seen the last of our loved ones. I'm glad there is life on the other side of the valley of the shadow of death. And I'm glad when Jesus comes, there'll be a mass resurrection when Jesus comes again. One of my best friends lives across the street from me, and he owns the funeral home down the street from our church. And I was over there at his place the other day talking to him, and he was telling me about this coffin here had a 25-year guarantee. Like who's really going to check it out, you know? And he said this one had a 50-year guarantee. And he said this one over here had a 100-year guarantee. I said, now, Horace, I know undertakers accused of being hypocrites because you know you're trying to look sad at a $50,000 funeral. But anyway, I said, but you done gone the line. He said, no, I'm telling you, 25 years, 50 years, 100 years. He said, Joe, that right there is guaranteed. Nothing can get in and nothing's going to get out. I said, Horace, let me tell you something. If you lay a born-again, blood-washed child of God in that thing, he's going to hear that trumpet. He's going to hear that voice, sealed or not, solid copper or not. He's coming out of there. Aren't you glad he that will come, will come and will not tarry. And when Jesus comes, there'll be the resurrection of the sleeping. The dead in Christ shall rise first. I'm glad Jesus is coming. There's going to be a resurrection of the saints of God from the sleepy shadows of death. In Greenville, South Carolina, there's a road called Wade Hampton Boulevard. It's Highway 29. And over here on the left sits Bob Jones University, and kind of across the street, up the street, a little bit catty-cornered, is a large cemetery. In fact, it's the largest cemetery in the state of South Carolina. And in that one cemetery alone, you will find the remains of Oliver B. Green. In that cemetery, you'll find the remains of Dr. J. Harold Smith. In that cemetery, you'll find the remains of Harold B. Sitla. And in that cemetery, in a double wide grave, you'll find the remains of Preacher Billy Kelly. You say, Brother Arthur, why is he in a double wide grave? Figure it out. He couldn't fit in a single wide. Somebody say amen right now. You say, how come he couldn't sit in a single wide? He weighed 420 when he died. And I asked him, I said, how'd you get so big? He said, I was afraid to go to heaven hungry. But anyway, you walk in that cemetery and all those graves of those great men of God. Dr. Max, I took my kids through there the other day and gave them a little spiritual heritage lesson. And I got to thinking, walking through that cemetery, can you imagine being on that piece of real estate when this shout right here takes place and Jesus comes? I can see it now. I can see it now. J. Harold Smith gets up out of that grave and says, neighbor, I'm glad I didn't step over God's three deadlines. Harold Sattler comes out of that grave saying, come over here, Mephibosheth. Give me your chariot. Let's ride to see the king. And then Harold Sattler jumps up out of that grave and starts singing, some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. And Oliver Green knocked the lid off that mausoleum and say, I told you it was by the grace of God. Then here comes Billy Kelly singing, I'll not be a stranger and I'll meet you in the morning. You say, preacher, you're just living in a fantasy world. Oh, no, I'm living in this Bible world that Jesus is coming. And when he comes, the dead in Christ are going to get up out of the grave. I'm glad Jesus is coming and the dead shall live again. The return of the Savior, the resurrection of the sleeping. Quickly, number three tonight, notice in verse number 17. I call it the rapture of the saved. When Jesus comes, what's going to happen? Well, the dead in Christ are going to rise. But notice verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain. Let me stop and say, you know what that verse teaches me? There's going to be some saved people on this earth when Jesus comes. And let me encourage you tonight, don't pay much attention to the news. Real news or fake news or made up news. Because they'll have you thinking, nobody loves Jesus, nobody goes to church, nobody believes the Bible, and nobody's a Christian. Wrong, wrong, wrong. There's still Bible-believing, God-fearing, Jesus-loving people in this world. I'm in a room full of them tonight. And brother, there are going to be saved people on this earth when Jesus comes. You say, what's going to happen to him? Well, the scripture said, then we which are alive and remain shall be called up to meet them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You know what that called up is? It is a rapture. It is a gathering. I like this word. It is a snatching away of the saints of the living God. Boy, I was on an airplane the other day and I took out my Bible. This nice, refined lady sitting next to me looked over and says, "Ooh, you don't believe that, do you?" I said, "Every word of it." She said, "Every word of it?" I said, "Every word of it." And I said, "By the way, let me ask you a question." I said, "Do you know how to fly a 747? "No." I said, "You better learn." "What do you mean by that?" I said, I asked that pilot up there earlier, was he a Christian? And he said he was saved. He was from Peachtree City, Georgia, and he was saved. And I don't know about the co-pilot, but I know the pilot's saved. What's that got to do with it? I said, "Well, ma'am, here's what's got to do with it. If that rapture takes place up here at 30,000 feet, and that pilot is snatched out of that cockpit, going to glory, have a good flight." And I said, "Don't look for me nor my life preserver, because I won't need it and I'll be gone." I met this man the other day who said he was a Baptist and he didn't believe in the rapture. I said, "You're kidding." He said, "No, I don't believe in the rapture." I said, "Let me tell you something. If you're saved, you got to go anyway." Can you imagine going to heaven under protest? "I don't want to go. I don't want." I'm telling you, when Jesus comes, you're going up. But hey, we shall be called up. That little word "called up," I love this. It's a Greek word, harpazo. And it means to be seized and snatched away by sudden force. That same word is translated in John chapter number 10, pluck. No man can pluck, seed, snatch them out of my Father's hand. And one of these days, those that are alive and remain are going to be seized, snatched away by sudden force. They say that word harpazo comes from a Latin word, harpoon. If you've studied history, you know what a harpoon was. It was that gun-like that shot that spear in the side of the whale, and that cable tied to that spear, and they would pull that whale to the shore because it had been harpazoed. It had been harpooned. It had been seized and snatched away by sudden force. Oh, one day the trumpet's going to sound and Jesus is coming and the dead in Christ are going to get up, and those that are saved and alive on this earth are going to get harpazo, harpoon, whammo, zap, bammo, seized and snatched away by sudden force. We are going to be raptured. That man said to me, he said, "I don't believe in rapture because you don't find that word in the Bible." I said, "You don't find the word Trinity either, but I believe in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." Amen. I said, "You don't find the word gambling either, but I don't do it." I said, "You don't find the phrase Sunday school either, but I go every Sunday of my life." And I said, "You may not find the word rapture, but man, what are you going to do about that catching up, calling out, sieging and snatching away by sudden force?" Friend of mine called me one day. He said, "Joe, are you sitting down?" I said, "No." He said, "Sit down." I said, "I don't have time." He said, "Sit down. Your preacher's right, man. I'm wired up. I make coffee nervous." I tried Ritalin, but it didn't help me none. He said, "Sit down, Joe. Listen to me." He said, "I'm reading an old English dictionary, and I've come across an old English word, raptua." And he said, "That's the old English way of pronouncing our modern word rapture, raptua, rapture." He said, and Joe, you'll never believe what the definition of the word rapture means. I said, give it to me. He said, it says right here, it means raptua, transported with delight. I'll take it. That one day Jesus is coming back and this blood-washed crowd is going to be transported with delight. Raptured, raptured, seized or snatched away. Put it like this. We're going to leave like Superman and come back like a Long Ranger. I'm glad Jesus is coming and there will be a rapture of the saved. And we'll meet our loved ones and our friends. But most of all, we'll see Jesus face to face. I remember being in science class years ago and we took a little derivative course called the Laws of Magnetic Field. And our teacher that day was going to give an example, an illustration of the laws of magnetic field. And so she put a pile of toothpicks here. And then right beside of it, she put a pile of straight pins. Then she took this big magnet, and she took that magnet and held it over them straight pins, and you know what happened? Every one of them straight pins got caught up to meet that magnet. And she took that very same magnet and held it over top of those toothpicks, and it was like a Baptist church on Sunday morning. They didn't even wiggle. They didn't even wiggle. And the teacher goes on to explain to us the hypothesis of the laws of magnetic field. That's been a long time. And I don't remember all the scientific terminology. So I'm going to give you a Southern Georgia homespun definition, explanation of the laws of magnetic field. You ready? There is something another in that there magnet that gets hooked up with something another in them there pins. And what's in them pins ain't in them toothpicks. See, I'm a doctor. I know all that kind of stuff. You say, what has that got to do with us? One day Jesus is coming and something in him is going to hook up with something in me, and that something is a someone, that someone is a somebody, and that somebody is the Holy Spirit. And one day this robe of flesh will drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, farewell. It'll be a shout heard around the world, and we'll meet him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. In closing tonight, listen to this. I did a little word study on the word meet. You know, you think you know what something means, but study it out. The word meet. And in our text, the little word used, meet here, literally means a face-to-face encounter. A face-to-face encounter. And I'm glad one day the church of the living God is going to have a face-to-face encounter with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I'm glad we'll know who he is, our Lord and our Savior and our Master. Turn to somebody next to you tonight and say, ready or not, I'm listening for that shout that will be heard around the world. Thank you, church. God bless you tonight. Amen. Appreciate you, brother.
God bless you. God bless you. Let's take our hymn.